A bird in the hand is worth what? It's Home Economics on 95 BFM. Thanks to Simplicity, New Zealand's fastest growing KiwiSaver plan.
Now, Amanda's here from Simplicity, and today we're going to talk about getting and making a bit of an earn on the side.
That's right, because, so the average income in New Zealand these days, now this will come as a shock, and some maybe not, is about $50,000 a year. So that may sound
good. Is that the average income, $50,000?
That's the average, yeah. I don't like averages, I like medians, because, there's so much, there's such a huge gap between the big income earners and the poor income earners that it distorts it all. But in any event, that's the average from Stats New Zealand. If you draw that out over a lifetime, that's impressive, because you think, oh, my maximum lifetime earnings or potential lifetime earnings on average would be over $2 million, which seems really impressive. But we know from even high income earners in New Zealand these days, a lot of people are struggling to get by, and that's even on salaries over $100,000 a year. Why? Well, we all know food costs are hugely expensive. Housing is primarily the big reason why. So anyhow, that brings me to our topic today, which is how to make money from a side hustle, because increasingly people are having to look for, to get very resourceful about how to make money on the side. You've got a few side hustles going, don't you?
How dare you? How do you
be point truthful the here? Yes, disclosure.
7, 8, 9, 10, sometimes 12. But I mean, there's a difference. I mean, let's not call it a side hustle, because that sounds like you're
doing something illegal. Yeah.
Whereas let's call it a secondary income.
Okay, that sounds a little bit more legit. I'll concur with that. I had one as well when I used to operate a yoga studio. So quite often people turn to their passions and try to make money out of their passions, which is a great idea because you've got a natural talent and presumably you like doing what you're doing, and it won't be too much extra effort to make that product, whatever it is, be it music, DJing, yoga, whatever. The danger, of course, is that quite often you get wrapped up in that passion, and you really do need to sit down and do the economics behind it as to whether you're actually making any money out of it.
Yeah.
Because when you factor in your time that you're spent doing this and maybe materials, etc., quite often a lot of people are doing this because it sounds great, but in the end of the day, they're not making any money. So I would caution people that if you're spending a lot of time trying to make money out of this thing, your extra talent or whatever, to make sure that it's actually working in your favor, because there could be another way to make money, maybe another job that pays more, for example.
I mean, it's good to have to have other options, for income and stuff like that, but you do have to weigh it up, don't you? You have to sort of and make sure that you go by the book.
Well, again, you can get caught out, for example, if your side business is going really well and you weren't claiming tax on it, and there's all those sorts of implications. So I would suggest that if it gets to the point where you're actually making some serious dough, you better make sure that you're doing things legitimately and running that business, because maybe that side secondary income could turn into your primary income, and you can get rid of the job that you hate 9 to 5. And I think for a lot of people they do that, but you do, like I said, you have to be way up the advantages. So if I think about my own experience when I was running a yoga studio and working full-time and trying to manage two teenage boys, at a certain stage,
surely they'd be helping you out with the cleaning and sort of the admin and that sort of thing. And
my kids?
Yes.
Yeah, I do put them to work, but okay. I think once their teenagers have their own mind, they go on strike. So, at a certain stage, I felt, completely overstretched, and it no longer made sense for me to be doing one thing on the side where actually my higher income earning potential was doing something else. So yeah. I'm just using that as an example where sometimes, you have to be sensible what it is you're doing. I would love to hear any stories any listeners might have about their successes or failures in trying to do this, because it actually is quite an art form, making some good cash out of your secondary income. So if anybody wants to
309-3879, if you think you've got the the secret to making the secondary earn work the best it can for you, 309-3879. Come on, show us your skills.
I guess why it also is important, because, I come on the show all the time talking about scrimping and saving and, counting your fees, etc.
Don't put it that way, Amanda.
Well, that is important, but at the same time,
helping us think for the future, save for the future.
Well, being thrifty is one thing, but actually, you are your greatest asset. So really, it's going to be a lot easier for long term if you look at growing your income earning ability. Yep. So that's where you need to sit back and reflect and see the big picture.
Is it easier to plan ahead for that stuff, or is it better to, I don't even know what this question's about, but you know, do you think, right, I need to have a secondary income, or is it more about being prepared when one does turn up?
I think it happens in different ways for different people, because some people, you know, they may be their stamp collectors and all of a sudden they've got this interesting thing that it just grew organically and it turned into something much bigger than they expected. But sometimes if it's, especially if it's out of necessity, absolutely, you need to sit down and reflect on, again, the allocation of your time, your resources and your money to see whether, if you're pursuing this little secondary path, whether it actually is sensible for you. And that's where doing a bit of number crunching will always pay off long term.
Hi, BFM.
G'day. Suggestions for earning off a secondary income?
Yeah.
Go for it.
Google AdSense. So it's best if you aim for the world rather than just New Zealand. You get about...
Is it AdSense? AdSense.
Just set up a Google account, and then hopefully you've got a website already, or you get one. You put ads on it, then you get your mates to go to that site. You start getting over, like, say, 400 hits a day, you're probably getting around, say, $4 a day. So that's the kind of multiple. So a dollar about per 100. It's not quite enough to live on, but it certainly helps.
Wow.
Yeah, no, that's a good idea. I mean, you can post ads or invite ads on your website, whatever it is. And that can, the one caution there, I know a fellow who spends a good part of his day trying to block pornography ads that pop up on and spam his site. So,
on his site, you mean? Or?
on his particular website, yeah. So you have to, you got to kind of get in there and make sure that the things that they're being posted on your site are sensible. Do you do this yourself?
Yes, I do. What happened to me is, like, they obviously worked out that too many of my mates were hitting the website, and so they threw away my account, so I had to use another account.
Sorry, can I just ask you again just to explain just the setup of it again, just quickly?
Okay. So you've got a Google account.
Yep.
There's a thing called Google AdSense. You set up something there. It takes a wee while, like about 3 weeks. Then they give you this code and you put it as an HTML into your website, and then ads start appearing. Then you get your mates to go to the website and click the ad.
Oh, right, okay. So that's a bit of a mistake. Okay, cool. So,
yep.
So now fast forward again. How can they tell? I suppose it's different.
If you milk it too much, they go, no, and they kick you out. So what I have to do is use this other thing. And there's a selection, like, is it okay to put gambling and porn on your website? And, like, you click no, but the reason why people click yes is because you get a higher amount of money for the ads that go there, because there's more people
from running with the dirty crowd.
Yeah, but it's disgusting. It's like, wow, that's really filthy. I can't believe that. You know, it's quite amazing. But anyway,
so you said yes.
Okay. That's a different discussion.
It is. Okay. Well, I hate to be the morality police, but I will weigh in on this
please,
one and just
please,
say
Amanda.
That, you know, obviously, if you put yourself in the position of an advertiser who's trying to sell their wares, you don't want, you know, this thing
exactly.
to be gamified. So please do it for legitimate reasons. And, but yes,
but
I hear what
but
you're
then
saying.
What happens when the dirty side of town can go, hey, well, we'll still give you money?
You
know?
Well, okay.
Life's full of temptations and distractions.
But thank you. In the IT space, you're absolutely right. There's a proliferation of ways to increase or get money at the margins and stuff. And if you're running a website, absolutely allowing ads to be posted on your website is a good one. So thank you for that.
Another quick thought. If you're really that game and you reckon you're really that good, you could be one of those YouTube sensations. That's just a thought, but I haven't explored that myself.
The thing is with YouTube sensations, that one day they're not.
Yes, that one. Yeah. Then
right.
you
Thanks,
write a
mate.
Book, I guess.
Good day.
Good day. Bye-bye.
So key points to remember from this conversation, Amanda?
Well, key points, again, consider your reasons for trying to establish secondary income. If it's your passion and you don't mind the time and extra and effort that you're going to put into it, great, go for it. Have a bit of a plan if you can. You might just get swept away in it and create, you know, the next Banksy piece and make your fortunes that way. Great.
Might do.
Yes, I'm hoping that's going to be the case with my young son, who's spending a small fortune on spray paint these days. But
not having cleaned up the Jaeger studio either.
Yeah, if you are in your primary primary income earning or primary job and you're dissatisfied with the amount of income that you were earning and thinking about taking on a secondary job, then, you know, spend some time doing a little bit of research about what it is you're going to do, how, et cetera, and do some projections to see if the money will kind of stack up in your favor. Because the other thing is, if you're really dissatisfied in that 9-to-5 grind and you hate your job and you've got like another 30 years ahead of you to work, again, it's not always about the money. You got to consider whether you're actually happy doing what it is you're doing, you know, more times than not. And if you're not, it doesn't matter how much money you're earning, you're going to have to reconstruct your life. So look at the big picture, see what your shortfalls are. Is there a different way to get there? If it's a side hustle, you're good at it, do a bit of research and go for it. It's a great idea.
Thank you, Amanda. Lovely to see you again. See you again in a couple of weeks.
Thanks, Mickey.
Money, money, money must be funny in a post-capitalist utopia. Home Economics on 95BFM. Thanks to Simplicity, New Zealand's lowest cost KiwiSaver plan. It takes 2 minutes to switch online.